This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. It's great to have you with us for the Friday edition of the Noon Business Hour as the trading week gets ready to wrap up. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. We've got rain in our forecast, and not only today, but the next 5 or 6 days. 59 degrees right now at O'Hare. We'll have the five-day forecast coming up.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. We'll have another chance for you to win $1,000 coming up at 12:24. But now let's kick things off with an update on the markets from Bloomberg. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco and Chris, the news isn't good. The Dow is sinking 278 points, a loss of more than 1%. We're down to 26,349. NASDAQ lower by almost 2%, and that's after yesterday's near 2% slide. Lower by 144 points, down to 77.36. S&P falling 27 points now to 28.74. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index also lower by 1%. Bloomberg reported yesterday about a massive hack, a tiny chip embedded by Chinese workers into servers that impacted several big U.S. tech companies. That is still weighing on the tech sector. Right now, the composite is down almost 4% for the week. The September jobs news was mixed. More than 50,000 fewer jobs were added than expected, with the total coming in at 134,000. On the upside, the tally for August was revised much higher, up almost 70,000. The jobless rate fell to 3.7%. That's a level we haven't seen since 1969. And the U.S. trade deficit widened in August amid trade disputes with China and other countries. At $53.2 billion, it's the widest gap in 6 months. Soybean exports plunged, and the data show tariffs are starting to weigh on the U.S. economy. Back to you, Cisco and Chris.
Thanks, Elisa. On today's Noon Business Hour, we're going to talk a little more about those job numbers, and a major mattress company is filing Chapter 11.
The Amoco name is heading back to Chicagoland. An Entrepreneur Friday, someone who's come up with a way to use virtual reality goggles to help caregivers better understand the world of the people they're caring for. All of that and loads more on today's Noon Business Hour.
A deposit for your future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Mattress firm, the largest mattress retailer in the U.S., has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. We're going to cover that in our next segment. Right now, the Labor Department's September employment report is today's headliner. We'll just break it down with Gus Fauché, chief economist at PNC Financial Services in Pittsburgh. Gus, putting all these papers together here, this economy is doing really well.
That's right. I think that the job market, you can make an argument that it's its best in about 50 years. Unemployment rate fell to 3.7%. That's the lowest we've seen since 1969. And excuse me, most importantly, I think wage growth is picking up. So that's good news for consumers.
So what are the signals here that you see for the future?
I mean, certainly I think that consumer spending is in great shape. So we've been adding about 200,000 jobs per month so far this year. We've seen wage growth accelerate. So consumers have bigger paychecks and they'll be out spending more. The job market is getting a bit tighter. Certainly there are, and this is going to raise inflation concerns. We're going to see the Federal Reserve continue to raise interest rates, but I think we will see the economy continue to expand well into 2019, and it's certainly plausible that if the expansion reaches the middle of 2019, it will become the longest in U.S. economic history.
Now, is there a chance, because some people worry that the economy may be heating up a little too hot, is there a chance that this gets too good?
I mean, certainly that's what the Federal Reserve is concerned about. So that's why they're gradually raising short-term interest rates. We've also seen longer-term interest rates move up. So the 10-year Treasury bond is at its highest since 2011. That'll help take some of the steam off of the economy. The hope is that it will allow the economy to expand, but just a little more slowly, and remove some of those inflation pressures. But if the economy does overheat, the Fed may need to raise rates more quickly, and that could put an end to the expansion.
So talk about some of the pros and cons of wage growth. We've wanted that for so long, really hoping that we would finally get that. Are there good things and bad things about it actually happening?
Sure. In terms of the good, obviously, that's good news for workers. They have bigger paychecks. That gives them more money to spend. And so that's a positive. The concern is that, one, that it could lead businesses to raise prices for their goods and services as they have higher labor costs. And so that could lead the lead to inflation to accelerate. And that's what the Federal Reserve wants to avoid. Second thing is that if businesses, instead of raising their prices, they take it out of their margins, see increased costs, but they don't raise their selling prices, then that means reduced profitability going forward, and that could weigh on stock prices. So certainly good news for consumers, but it's not 100% good news.
What kinds of jobs are leading the call here?
Well, we saw a little bit, we saw job losses in September in retail and then travel and tourism, but I think that was tied to Hurricane Florence. But we saw good gains in manufacturing and construction and business and professional services and in education and healthcare. So we're really seeing broad-based job growth. Most industries in the U.S. right now are expanding, and so we're not dependent on just a few industries, and that does bode well for continued economic growth.
Any concern about continued interest rate hikes, or as long as they're slow but sure, will it be all right?
I think we should be okay. And if you look at previous expansions, interest rates are still very low on a historical basis. So I don't think interest rates where they are now or even a little bit higher would cause problems for the economy. But the concern is, again, if inflation picks up, that could lead the Fed to raise rates more aggressively. And then you do have to be concerned that high interest rates will weigh on business investment, will weigh on the housing market, will weigh on consumer spending.
Obviously, mortgage interest rates are a little bit separate from what the Fed is doing, but as those continue to climb, we see the 10-year at a 7-year high. What kind of a challenge is that going to face? Because even though interest rates for mortgages are historically low, it just seems like they're getting higher.
They are, and that's to be expected as the expansion continues. That being said, I think the fundamentals for the housing market are still generally on the positive side. So job growth, income growth, rising household wealth in terms of stock holdings and real estate holdings. So I still think that housing will be a positive for the economy through the rest of 2018 and then again next year.
I know you're an economist and you're not here for talking as much about the markets, but with this kind of economy, what are usually the areas in trading that really pick up?
I think right now the stocks that we're seeing doing best are those that benefit from an expanding economy. So growth stocks as opposed to value stocks. Certainly, I think that stocks that depend on interest rates, so a lot of stocks in the financial sector, for example, are hurt by the rising interest rate environment. And then I think that consumer-oriented stocks, particularly discretionary consumer spending, should benefit from the strong job growth and the rising wages that we're currently seeing.
Thanks for joining us today. Gus Fauché is chief economist at PNC Financial Services in Pittsburgh. And coming up, America's top mattress retailer files for bankruptcy protection.
Information to make cash and save cash. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The largest mattress retailer in the country, Mattress Firm, is seeking bankruptcy protection. Let's get the latest from Matt Townsend, global business reporter at Bloomberg, based in New York. Matt, give us the nuts and bolts of what Mattress Firm is doing.
Yeah, they declared bankruptcy, the kind of bankruptcy that you try to reorganize. Initially, their first big sort of announcement is that they're going to close roughly 700 stores out of the more than 3,000 locations they have around the United States. As a way to save money. So this is a bankruptcy that will likely mean that, or could mean that they're going to reorganize and sort of emerge with less debt and potentially a stronger company. So doesn't mean they're going out of business completely. It means they're trying to shed debt and shed some of their costs to try to be a slimmer firm.
What are some of the challenges that they're having? What led to this?
Yeah, I mean, the big thing is Well, twofold. There's more competition. Anybody who's shopped for a mattress lately probably knows there's all kinds of online competitors now. I mean, Casper being the biggest one. These companies are chipping into market share. Casper's actually opening its own stores now. And then on top of that, the company just had some management issues. They had sort of a scandal that happened over the past few years where they are now suing some former top executives for opening too many stores as a way to sort of get bonuses, and allegedly took kickbacks from brokers. So it's kind of this messy management situation where, you know, they might have been opening too many stores to the point where it actually started hurting the business and sort of contributed to their bankruptcy filing today.
Yeah, we're hearing commercials and seeing signs all over the place for has the interest in mattresses picked up in recent years? Is that what explains this?
I mean, demand is sort of static. I mean, the one thing is that they've tried to introduce, you know, quote unquote innovations into mattresses, sort of like, you know, have like this robust benefit story about it helps you sleep more or something like that. But in general, it just, you know, it was seen as a sort of stodgy industry. Anybody who's bought a mattress in their lifetime, you know, maybe not the greatest experience to go to one of these stores. You have these salespeople, and these, you know, internet startups sort of came in and tried to bring in first lower cost mattresses and, you know, make it a more potentially interesting experience. So all those things combined have kind of, you know, hit the number one mattress company in the U.S., and, you know, we'll have to see how this plays out. I mean, one thing that could happen is they could, you know, shed even more stores and potentially, you know, hurt employees and open up more retail spaces for, you know, potentially these digital companies to come in and open stores.
Another market disrupted. It seems to be happening everywhere. Thanks. Matt Townsend, global business reporter at Bloomberg. Still ahead, Entrepreneur Friday, the innovative use of virtual reality to better understand people living with Alzheimer's and other impairments.
WBBM News Time, 12:25. Let's get the latest on the markets. Sponsored by Lakeside Bank. And here's Lisa Peretti.
Chris, we're at our lows of the day. The Dow is down 310 points, trading right now at 26,317. NASDAQ falling 2% or 155 points, and the S&P down 30, also a loss of more than 1%. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg falling more than 1%. We're seeing across-the-board losses. Costco is a good example. After posting its quarterly results, the wholesale company is down more than 5%. Those results were overshadowed by a cryptic warning about an IT issue that may have affected the internal controls of its financial reporting. The retailer says it's assessing its system, hiring outside experts to check for any signs of meddling and user access. We also have crude oil futures staying a little bit higher at $74.61 a barrel. Now let's turn to Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities in Normal. Kurt?
Well, good afternoon. Great markets are mixed as we go through the noon hour. We saw some early selling pressure from profit taking ahead of the weekend. Buying interest surfaced on the price break from continued forecast of heavy rains and wind moving across the Midwest over the next few days. There's also been an interest in buying from the commercial grain trade. Corn futures are unchanged, down 3/4. Beans are up 6 to 7 cents, and the wheat market up 3 to 4 cents a bushel. This is Kurt Kimmel, Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thanks, Kurt. I'm Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on WBBM News Radio, WBBM.
Stocks are sinking today. We'll see what's moving Wall Street. It's Entrepreneur Friday. We meet the woman behind a virtual reality training program for caregivers who started her business here in Chicago. A once familiar sight is returning to our area, the Amoco gas station logo. Jurors in the Jason Van Dyke murder trial work through a second day of deliberations. And a final Senate vote on the Brett Kavanaugh Supreme Court nomination is expected to take place over the weekend.
On Wall Street, the Dow Industrials down 275 points, the NASDAQ off 150, and the S&P 500 down by
29.
57 degrees in Chicagoland, heading to a high of 63. Lots of clouds around throughout, not only today, but also through the weekend, with some rain and thunderstorms over the weekend. The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park.
Well, markets are really taking a hit on this final day of the trading week. We are joined by Vahan Janjigian, Chief Investment Officer at Greenwich Wealth Management in Greenwich, Connecticut. Vahan, tell us what's behind these numbers today.
Well, I think a number of things. First of all, I think the blame goes to interest rates. As you know, the Fed has been raising interest rates at the short end of the yield curve, and there's been a lot of concern that the yield curve had been flattening. And now all of a sudden we're seeing that long-term interest rates are suddenly rising, and they're rising pretty rapidly. Now, that might not necessarily be a bad thing, because typically in a strong economy, you do have a yield curve that steepens. So I'm not sure that that's something investors really need to worry about. But it's certainly true that when interest rates go up, that typically is not good for investing. It raises the cost of capital to the corporations, and it also increases the required return from investors. But I think that's not the only reason we're seeing a sell-off. We're seeing, for example, we're seeing a bit of a rotation today. All stocks are down, but value stocks are down not nearly as much as growth stocks. We're seeing a big sell-off in the names that have really driven the market indexes higher, and I think investors are suddenly discovering that these growth stocks have become much too expensive, and they're rotating more into the value names.
We're hearing wonderful things about the economy right now, but overall, is there anything else that concerns you about the stock market?
Yeah, one of the things that concerns me is earnings. We've gone through a period of time where earnings growth has been exceptionally strong. This year, for example, I believe that earnings have really benefited from tax reform. And I don't really see anything on the horizon that will do the same for next year or the year after. There is some talk in Congress about a second tax reform package, but that package seems to address individuals rather than corporations. So I don't see anything that will really cause corporate earnings to rise at the same rate that we've been seeing the last couple of years. And I think this slowdown in earnings growth is another reason why the market may be near a peak.
Elaborate a little more on the issues with rates, because we had for the longest time this fear about the flattening yield curve, and we heard about that all the time, that this was really, really bad for what people were expecting. Now it's going in the opposite direction, and some are saying that's bad too.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, there's nothing really wrong with a flat yield curve. However, if the yield curve inverts, in other words, if long-term interest rates fall below short-term interest rates, that's been a pretty reliable predictor of a recession. A steepened yield curve, where long-term rates are higher than short-term rates, is usually seen at a time when the economy is doing well. However, the stock market doesn't necessarily go up just because the economy is doing well. They don't always work in sync. My view is that the stock market had already anticipated an improving economy in years past. And so now that the economy is improving, I think the stock market is letting off some steam. It's already rallied tremendously in anticipation of a stronger economy. Now that we have evidence of a stronger economy, I don't really think the market is inclined to go much higher.
So at this point, then, not going much higher, where is a good area to check out for any of our listeners who are looking for investment?
Well, I really think that investors should avoid some of the big names that have driven the markets higher and rotate more into these value stocks. One stock that I'm actually quite fond of, and again, this is for investors who are really interested in investing for the long term, and I'm talking about the next 5 years rather than the next 5 days. I would advise investors to go into something like Ford Motor Company. This stock is incredibly depressed because of a number of reasons. Tariffs is one of them. Tariffs have raised the raw material costs for steel and aluminum, and it's also made it more difficult for the company to sell its vehicles in places like China. However, I'm convinced that these tariff disputes will eventually be settled, And I think this is probably a pretty good time to get into a stock like that if you're willing to hold it for the next 5 years.
Yeah, I found it interesting that over, I don't know, about the last year, 18 months or so, you had Ford and GM sort of going almost identically in opposite directions. And you did. I'm interested to hear you talk about Ford, because you did have to wonder when Ford was going to turn it around.
Yeah, you know, I think one of the gripes against Ford is that it hasn't been very aggressive in these electric vehicles, and I'm not really sure it should be. GM was actually a little bit more involved in that. However, Ford is pretty involved in autonomous driving, and I think that's going to be an important area for them. And, of course, the other big news about Ford is that they pretty much announced that they will no longer be making traditional passenger cars other than the Mustang and the Focus, and not even for sale in the United States. The Focus will be sold elsewhere. They're going to focus on SUVs and pickup trucks, and they are the best pickup truck maker and seller, and it's a very profitable vehicle for them. So they're focusing on things that really will boost profits in the future.
Vahan, very nice to speak with you again. Vahan Janjigian is Chief Investment Officer at Greenwich Wealth Management in Greenwich, Connecticut.
Coming up, Entrepreneur Friday, the founder of a company started in Chicago that's helping educate and train caregivers using virtual reality.
A deposit for your future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Entrepreneur Friday here on the Noon Business Hour. This afternoon, we're exploring the use of virtual reality to help in the training of caregivers. We welcome Carrie Shaw, founder of Embodied Labs, based in Los Angeles. The company was started here in Chicago. Carrie, I'm absolutely fascinated by this, because as we've been talking about virtual reality here for several years, it's always a pleasure thing, almost like a vacation
plaything
thing. Yeah, it's a toy where you can act like you're in the mountains or you're on some island. But tell us about what you have devised here, because you're actually using it to help people who care for people.
Yeah, we do. So what we do with virtual reality at Embodied Labs is we create interactive stories that put you into the shoes of elder journeys. So we have journeys where you can embody somebody who's experiencing Alzheimer's disease, and you can use basically your own experience to drive forward what it's like to be in the shoes of this woman that we call Beatrice as she goes through the early and middle and late stages of the disease. We have some other things that we've done around helping people walk through end-of-life care and what it's like to actually be in the shoes of someone who has a terminal cancer diagnosis and has to make really hard decisions about how they want to proceed with their care to move forward. And what these experiences have done is empowered both professional and family caregivers to really understand the issues that the elder that they're caring for is going through and become better care professionals because of it.
Yeah, what kind of an impact does that have on the care that they can give? I mean, it would seem like seeming to walk in their shoes would certainly make a difference.
Yeah, so we also, in addition to walking in their shoes, we also have people go inside of the human body to better understand what someone's going through. So, for example, in Beatrice's journey, not only do you walk in her shoes in a story that's filmed like a movie happening around you, but a movie that you're participating in, you also go inside of Beatrice's brain, and we create medical animations that you can interact with to see how Alzheimer's disease actually looks from being inside of a neuron forest that's actually it going through that disease process across time. So it's not just knowing what people feel like, but it's learning about the diseases that are impacting people and then thinking about behaviors and care practices that you can understand better and apply as the outcome of going through this training.
Carrie, how did you think of this? How did you get this idea?
This idea was inspired by my own experience as a caregiver. When I was in my teens, my mom was diagnosed with early onset Alzheimer's disease. She was 49 years old at the time. And so through my 20s, I became one of her primary caregivers. And I constantly felt this challenge to really understand what she was going through. I couldn't connect with what her brain was doing and how that was causing her to experience the world in a way that was just so different from the way I was experiencing it. And I even found that I made these really simple goggles that simulated she had a vision impairment. And by me and her home health aides that worked with her being able to put on these goggles that simulated that, we could understand, you know, why we needed to, say, walk on her left side and protect that side of her body or approach her from the right. And so those simple goggles became this inspiration for me to say, well, what if we could do so much more than just simulate something really simple like a vision impairment? And what if we could actually put ourselves through into the shoes and lives of someone experiencing, say, language processing problems or object recognition issues? And that's what this tool, this virtual reality headset, can empower us to create.
Are you going
It all came from my mom.
Are you going to have other embodied labs around the country, or just the one in Los Angeles?
Well, we actually make this as a software platform, and anyone right now we sell to home care businesses as well as senior living communities, and they purchase the virtual reality hardware and then can use our platform to use these labs in their training. And we actually have about 50 different organizations in 14 different states that are using this in the United States.
Well, really inspiring to hear what you're doing, and it just seems like it's going to help a lot of people. So thanks so much.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, really nice to meet you. Carrie Shaw, founder of Embodied Labs. It's based in L.A. Company started, though, here in Chicago. Still to come, the familiar Amoco sign is returning to gas stations in Chicagoland.
The best daily deal in Chicago, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
BP is bringing back the Amoco gas station brand with 6 locations now in operation around the Chicago area. More to come. Let's talk about this with Patrick DeHaan, senior petroleum analyst at GasBuddy.com here in Chicago. Patrick, what's the strategy?
Well, thanks for having me. Well, you know, this is sometimes you have to do a double take, drive around in the suburbs, and instead of seeing a BP, all of a sudden Amoco's are popping back up. What you've seen is kind of a strategy change, it seems like, for BP, who's bringing back a brand that has been gone for almost a decade, it seems like. There's been one or two Amoco stations across the country. But when you have so many BP stations, especially here in Chicago, where you have hundreds of BP stations, I think what they're looking to do is diversify so that they're offering a separate brand so that people may not be inundated with BPs everywhere.
And around the country, too.
That's right. A lot of this is happening in some of the larger metro areas, it seems like, where there may be a higher concentration of stations. And over the years, as stations have drifted between brand and brand, there's a lot of situations where stations very close in proximity may both be BP. So this is kind of a way to spread the brand across two major icons.
After the 2010 oil spill, obviously BP got hammered after that. A lot of criticism by bringing back Amoco. Is it just a way to maybe protect against some sort of future natural disaster and the negative publicity that comes with that?
Well, given the fact that this took BP so many years to do, I don't know if that's exactly what they're going after. You look at another oil company, ExxonMobil, has the same strategy. They have Exxon-branded stations and they have Mobil-branded stations. So apparently that's a strategy winner for ExxonMobil, and BP certainly kind of following in those footsteps.
All right. Patrick DeHaan, always appreciate you being with us. Patrick is senior petroleum analyst at GasBuddy.com, based here in Chicago. You'll find past programs later today, a podcast of this hour at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the all-new Radio.com app. WBBM News Time, 12:55, wrapping up the noon business hour with a check of Wall Street sponsored by Baird. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco, the selling continues. The Dow is down 223 points, or almost 1%. We're at 26,404. NASDAQ down 1.5%. That's actually an improvement. We were lower by 2% just a few moments ago. The composite sinking 119 points. S&P down 21. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is lower by almost 1%. Investors didn't think it was funny when Elon Musk said the SEC stands for the Short Sellers Enrichment Commission, and that it's, quote, doing incredible work. Shares fell late yesterday, and the Tesla CEO's latest tweet storm is sinking shares again today. The outburst could endanger Musk's settlement with the SEC over his tweets about taking Tesla private. That deal isn't final yet. Tesla down 7% today. JP Morgan is the latest bank to lay off employees in its mortgage business as rates go up and demand for new home loans and refis falls. The Wall Street Journal says it's cutting about 400 jobs in its consumer mortgage banking division in Florida, Ohio, and Arizona. Capital One, Wells Fargo, and USAA have also cut mortgage jobs in recent weeks. Crude oil futures are up about 2% on the week, slightly higher on the day, near $74.50 a barrel. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.